feel like if you're in a really hard time, giving them those parts that you wish somebody was giving to you, like really diving into that. Okay, I can't give that to myself right now. No one's giving that to me, but I can give that to somebody else. It has this weird way of healing me in different ways of, okay, somebody else is getting what I can't have. And I know it sounds weird, like you would think I'd be jealous, but it's more like I can provide that for them. It's my quiet place, like that when I'm helping people in that way, I'm not thinking about my problems. And it's the only place where I'm like, shut, I have tunnel vision. I'm just doing this in this moment. And then again, having the space, don't be volume based and be in a place where I can give that. Gosh, boudoir sessions, I'm their therapist. Like I literally had a client that's, do you do therapy? She's Orthodox and she can't, they can't talk about sex. They can't talk to other women about stuff. And she's, can I call you? I was like, no, I'm not professional and I don't want to get sued. But it was so much of me that I loved it, but I spent the next week just gonna lay in bed. Like I don't want to do anything for the week. And I know I've had to work on that mindset too. Like you're not lazy, you're not a failure if you don't work every day. Like really getting to that place where I can give that of myself, but then I'm gonna have to recharge. And you know what that takes for you.
Welcome to the Motherhood Anthology Podcast, photography education for a business you love. My name is Kim Box, and I'm your host with the collaboration and help of my co-hosts and business partners at the Motherhood Anthology, Jenny Kruger and Allison Craig. If you like our podcast, we think you'll love our membership. Enrollment only opens a few times a year, and that's coming up very soon. If you want us to let you know as soon as the doors are open, head over to themotherhoodanthology.com and join our wait list. You'll be the first to know.
So today we're going to talk about client relationships, and I know that encompasses a lot of things, but it's something that you're so good at, Shannon. And we had some questions submitted, so I'll feed you some of those, but for you guys that are on with us, feel free to unmute at any time and chime in if you have a question or if you have a follow-up question, just casual conversation today. So unmute at any time if you have something to say. All right, Shannon. So what are some of your most tried and true ways of fostering relationships with your ideal client?
Oh, geez. I think that it's something that can ever be evolving. And I'm trying to think of ways like past when I work with them to stay connected. I'm getting a lot better at it. But I really think the communication leading up to it and we just talked about it on the podcast, like really getting to know my clients on a deep level so that those conversations can continue before the shoot, during, after, during the ordering session. I don't do anything like client gifts or anything like that, but I do give, they get a lot of my time. Like I'm very much, I used to be really firm on no texting, no talking past this time of night. But when you have limited clients, like I have the space that I can give them that. If they're freaking out the night before, I thought my dress is going to come in time, but it hasn't. I have no problem helping them with that stuff because I'm not volume based. So I think just really having like that communication and openness. And I say they really do become my friends. Several of my clients, like we still get coffee like once a year, if not more. And I'll check on them and just say, how are you? How are the kids? But I think just being genuine. And I think my superpower is helping people feel seen. And so I think just keeping that up and making sure that that whenever we have a conversation, I just want to know all about them. So
that answer? There we go. That is your superpower, Shannon. You do make people feel seen. You've made me feel that way more than once.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah. And that's something that you talked about, just communicating, and you used to have boundaries around your phone, your cell phone and communication and things like that. I think that's something when Elizabeth Messina was on and inside the membership, something I think I picked up from her because And I can see where giving someone your cell phone number could go wrong. Yeah. But I think when you're like, they've already been through a lot of your process by the time you're probably opening up that kind of communication. So it's not like you're just handing it out to anybody. And I think that does really make a big difference. Yeah. Text me if you need anything, or if you want to send me some pictures of like what you're thinking for wardrobe, or just because that back and forth before the session is really building a friendship.
It is. Yeah. And I really do think that the process that I take them through before, I'm already setting those boundaries. Like, we're not getting on the phone until you fill out the questionnaire. We're not getting on the phone until you confirm that you want to pay, like, you're okay paying my commission fee. There are certain things that are like, people that try to rush me through it never end up being my client. So the ones that are like, they respect and they love my process. And so they don't cross those boundaries. It's like something that I don't even have to say. Don't text me past 8. Don't. There are people who like live the same lifestyle. And I really do feel like when you're at that price point, a lot of times they're not that needy. It's just a different, they're like, okay, it happens when it happens. Like, they don't see their photos until almost a month after the session. No one's ever, can I, like, where are they? Can I see them? It's okay. I trust your process. So I feel like just, again, like from the beginning, having that process, having that communication, like we're setting the boundaries just naturally. Like, we respect each other's time naturally. Things just don't have to be said. And of course, one off, you'll get that client that you have to be like, okay, like email's best, but that's not the typical with my clients. I'm obsessed with my clients, like obsessed. Yeah.
Okay, question number 2. Where do you see yourself spending the most time maintaining a good relationship with your clients that you want to keep? Instagram, emails, other? And do you make this a part of your weekly business plan? Give it a set amount of time in your workflow or just do it organically?
Oh my gosh, these are great questions. I am not a like, it's so weird. I'm structured in other parts of my life, but my business, I'm like, what do I want to do today? So for me, it's a lot of emailing after the date. I was on the CMA call last week and you guys inspired me. I was like, I'm going to send out handwritten cards. Like, I need to do this more. So someone I sent one to was a client from 3 years ago that I like have emailed once a year, but my thing was, I want to send her a handwritten card because she's not expecting that. And we haven't talked in a year and I want to see how she's doing. That's how I keep in touch after. I would say it's mostly email. And then again, some of them, if they're local, like we meet up and we have coffee or we have lunch, or we have a glass of wine, which is my favorite. So yeah, that email and meeting up are probably my two biggest.
Are you spending much time on Instagram?
I'm spending time on Instagram stories. So I will live by this. My clients don't find me through hashtags, or a lot of it is me initiating with someone that I think would be an ideal client. And then when we're friends, like commenting very genuinely on their stories. And I do that sporadically. I don't sit down every Wednesday and say, this is the day that I go, because I don't want it to feel like that to them. And I don't want it to feel like that to me, because I'm going to start being uninspired and I'm not going to want to do it. And then it's going to feel like a chore. So every once in a while, if I see something like, and that's the other thing, I don't fake it. There are people that I follow that post stories like every day, and I'm not just going to say something, but if I pass their story and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I feel this deep in my soul, like I'll write a couple paragraphs. So that's a big one for me, is mostly connecting through stories. And without a doubt, I've had so many people that I followed that I'm like, oh man, I want them to follow me back. They're like an ideal client, and they don't. And then 6 months goes by and I comment something on their stories and then they start following me and they're like, your work's amazing. Like, it just takes that. Again, this is a long game. This is, because I want it to be so genuine and not just, hey, we should work together. Like, I want to do a free shoot for you. It's very much like we're connecting on deeper levels. And then they're seeing my work and then they're like, oh, okay. I really resonated with the way that she said that or her photos.
Yeah, it goes back to what you said about wanting to be seen anytime. I think we're all a little bit guilty of scrolling and, oh, that's beautiful, so pretty, those little quick comments. But anytime I've ever posted, especially anything personal or your children or your family, or yourself, and you get a thoughtful comment where it's not, I know this person's just scrolling, like being nice, saying, love that, but it's really thought out. It means so much to me, for sure. I will definitely follow you no matter.
Yeah. What. You can tell when someone's faking it. And I say another part of my Instagram marketing would definitely be like me posting stories and me posting my blog posts and just like, people connect with me on that way. I know a big part for me, and not everybody wants to be that vulnerable, and I get it, But I got clients and connected with so many women that first 18 months of Maeve's life when I was really depressed, and I was posting about it. And I wasn't like, woe is me, but I was like, this is hard. And I feel like no one warned me. And just the post of real life stuff, I'm having a really hard day. I'm having a really hard month. And I don't like, I just want you to know that I see you moms, and the amount of women that are like, nobody talks about this. You're the only person talking about this and connecting on that level. And that's why I say, I really believe in being vulnerable in our business. I don't think you have to tell them, like, I don't even post photos of Maeve. No one knows what Maeve looks like. So I think there's ways that you can do it where you can still hold your privacy, but I tell my story because my story is my story. And so I think people connect really deeply, and I do get clients from that as well. Of, okay, you see me, I can trust you. If you're going to do a session to me, I can email you and tell you that most days I don't like being a mom. And I love my kid, don't like being a mom. So can you photograph us in a way that like, I feel like a good mom and I feel like I'm doing a good job. And that, like me being vulnerable allows women that work with me to feel like they can tell me anything. And I think that's how I get the work that I get in my portfolio. And that's how I can have those conversations like, you this photo of you is not as good as this photo of you, and say it in a way where they're not like, oh my God, like she thinks I'm ugly. So I really think being vulnerable on my social media has been a huge part of my success.
What are your favorite ways to surprise and delight? You said handwritten note. That was a very,
yeah, awesome. I do that when I deliver their stuff. I want to be better about like follow-ups, like 6 months, a year. I really feel like the installer part of it has been like, people don't expect it. And then what's really fun is when I come over like that, they're like seeing it go up on their walls and I'm like getting to talk to them and we're reconnecting and we're looking at the photos and we're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Cause they haven't seen it in print yet. So it's like a huge deal. And I just keep coming back to it. I think really getting to know them and caring about their children and showing up and being like, I did a family session 2 weeks ago and I showed up and I went straight to the kid. And I was like, show me your bedroom, show me your toys. I don't care about mom and dad. Yes, I care about mom and dad. But as a mom, if someone loves on your baby, like that's it. Someone's won you over. So I ask the questions, tell me about their personality and what do you love about them? And when I show up, I'm like, hi, Charlie. Like, I heard you love trains, and like really spending that time with them. And I love it too, because I charge enough that if the session takes 4 hours and I want to be there for 4 hours, I'm going to be there. Like, I'm not sitting there going, oh my God, they only paid me like $200 for the session. And I've got other sessions I have to do. I got money I got to make. So I really feel that. And then I usually try to do a very personal gift when I deliver their art. So like this one that just spent the $25,000 with me, there was a beautiful portrait that she got in her museum case that's only a 5x7 and 8x10 mat. And I was like, no, this is like the most gorgeous photo of her face. And so I just did it as an 11x14 framed piece. So I'm going to show up and she's going to have, that's like a, cost me $400, but I was happy to do it. So to her, I think going that step beyond of just being like, you need to have this on your wall because you're so beautiful. And her being like, someone thought that I was this beautiful that she got me like an 11x14 framed art. So I think just going above and beyond in that way and like meeting up with them for coffee. Can I take you to coffee? I want to see how you're doing. I want to hear how your life is since we did the shoot. So I think stuff like that.
How do you run your consultation calls pre-booking?
I get on the phone after they've filled out the questionnaire. So they see my process page. If they say it looks great, I'm ready to move on to a call, then that's when I send the questionnaire. And then once they fill that out, then we do the discovery call. And that usually lasts like an hour.
So what's that call like? What are you talking about?
That call is literally going over the questions that they answer. So it's probably like, I'm trying to think, my questionnaire is probably like 25, 30 questions. So what I'll do is about an hour before their call, I go through every one of their answers. And then in red, because I do it through my email, I just write down what I'm going to ask them about that. Whatever they answered, I feel like they can go more in depth. So I'm like, okay, you answered this. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? Like, why do you feel that way? Why do you like anything that I can go more in depth? That's why I say the questionnaire is amazing. It's my blueprint. I don't have to think of any extra questions. So we just go over all of those questions. And then at the very end, I talk about the investment and what I'm imagining they're probably going to spend.
So run through some of the questions on your questionnaire, that some of the things y'all are talking about.
So I have, when was the last time you were photographed? How did you feel about yourself when you saw those photos? Have you ever worked with a photographer that does finished art, or have you always just got an overwhelming amount of digitals? If you just got the digitals, what have you done with them? Have you ever printed them? Because all that's when you get the, no, we did it 2 years ago. And you and me, Ken, like, no, I haven't put them on my walls. Another one is, where is someone shopping for your birthday? I feel like that's like such a telling. I get answers from like Louis Vuitton to, they know that I love handwritten cards. And so they'll make me something for my birthday. They'll bake me brownies. So it's, I love that, because you can start to like really feel someone's personality. Another one is, tell me about your home decor. Because if I can't go to their house, I need to know what it looks like, so I can start thinking about like frame. Do they like deckled prints? Are they more like traditional art? Are they modern? Would they like acrylic? Like thinking along those levels. And it also helps me with wardrobe, because when I start to learn about their house, I learn about the colors and the aesthetic. And then as I'm planning, I'm like, okay, I know that they have a lot of blue and their house is very like Palm Beach, so they're probably going to like silver frames and deckled prints. So like thinking that way. Yeah. And just tell me about your family, and tell me about each one of your kids and their personality and your husband and all of that.
I think you share that in the membership.
Hi.
Oh, I don't know who's calling me.
Yeah. I've shared my questionnaire before.
Let's see. Being in the ultra luxury end of the market, where a discount office session is a little feedback. Let me try that again. Being in the ultra luxury end of the market, where a discount office session is maybe less relevant, do you offer referral incentives at all? And if so, what's the process?
Mm-hmm. No referral incentives. If people love you, they're going to talk about you. Like, I don't know. It's not that I feel like it's bribery, or I don't know. I feel like when someone has an experience like that with you, how can they not talk about you? When someone comes in their home and they see the artwork on the wall, and they're going to be like, is that you? Can you tell me about that? So no, I've never done a referral program. It's just not for me. No. But I do things like, I always include like a gift and stuff. So while I don't give discounts, and there are times like this, the session that I just did the big sale for, she was on the fence. Like, she was like, okay, I love like this many. And I was like, I want you to have these. Let's just include it. So I included some extra matted prints for her. So I feel it out on the call. She wasn't asking for it. She wasn't expecting it. I didn't tell her before the session, but I already knew where our price point was. And I want, at that point, I was like, I'm making enough of a profit. I want her to have these photos, because I think these are the things that people are going to remember when they're thinking about their session.
For sure. I often have friends and family ask if I can lower my prices or create special packages for them. I don't mind doing this to an extent, but how do you navigate this without damaging your reputation? I worry about people thinking I'm unfair by choosing who to discount.
That one, so I do it for free if it's like my immediate family, and like immediate family. And sometimes like my closest friend, I try to photograph her family like every year, and she just pays for the film, and I'm happy to do it. But beyond that, no, I don't discount. I feel like it should either be free or full priced. And the reason being is the people that I do it for free would never hire me anyway. They're people that I love and I just wouldn't want to charge. And then the other people, if they're acquaintances or just friends, my big thing with giving discounts, doing mini sessions, or doing something for free is I feel like, especially the free aspect, if it's someone that I don't like, not immediate family, how are people going to talk about you? So people really value things more that they spend money on. Like, they just do. If you think about things in your home that you like really are like, oh, I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to, like, it's usually something that you spend a lot of money on. And not only that, if it's a free session, I can't give as much of myself. So my process is going to look different than it is if they spend money with me. So then how are they talking about me to their friends? If they're just, oh yeah, I had a great time with Shannon, she was really cheap, or she discounted this, or she gave me all the digitals, because I'm not going to give them free artwork. I'm not going to discount artwork, because that's money out of my pocket. So my big thing at the end of the day is, when you're thinking about discounting or doing anything, how are these clients going to talk about you? And so that's a big no for me, like no discounts whatsoever.
I like that. I'm of the same free or full price.
Yeah. Yep. And I have to really like you to photograph. Or creative shoot. I do those too. I just did one of those last month. So
I hate to admit this, but I hate it when you're in that middle ground of I'm not doing it for free, but I feel really bad charging you. I try not to be in a situation where I'm asked to.
Yeah.
Because I like I said, I feel bad charging you, but you're not immediate family either.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why I'm like, here's my pricing. And it always, but at the same time, I don't think anyone that's asking that has been hurt. They're just like, oh, I get it. You're worth it. I wish I could afford you, but we're just going to have to pass. And for people like that I know aren't going to hire me, that's when I'm happy to refer. If I know a cheap photographer, someone just emailing me and I've had it where they're like, would you have someone you can refer? And I'm like, the only people that I refer are charging what I'm charging. Like, why would I devalue what I do? Right. It doesn't make sense. So
how do you connect with shy families that just want posed photos?
They don't work with me. That seems blunt, but that's like the fastest. Like I don't think they would connect with my work or my process. The people that I work with don't, when I go over it, I'm like, I'm going to get one or two post photos of you because you're always going to want that. 20 years from now, you want that. And grandma wants that, but that's not going to be our focus. And they're always like, oh yeah, absolutely. Like we don't want post photos. I think I don't show post photos really in my portfolio. So I don't think people are looking for that when they reach out to me. So I'm not a good one to answer that. They don't work with me. They don't like me. I don't know.
And that goes back to your process that's pretty lengthy. So those folks are weeded out before they get.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Can I be a photographer that connects well with clients if I'm an introvert?
I'm an introvert. Yes.
Yes. I am too.
Yep. It's funny because people are like, you're an introvert, like cheerleader for 9 years. But it depends. I'm an introvert in a crowded situation, but it's like, you get me one-on-one and then that's when I'm like, give me all of your energy. But absolutely, I will say this, if you're anything like me, this is why I can't be volume-based. I'm so introverted that it takes all of my energy to give that to somebody. And so when I'm through with a family session, I'm done. Like for a week, I don't even want to look at the photos. Like I'm done. Yeah. Don't talk to me. I have nothing to give you. That Monday, like I'm in bed all day watching Netflix when my daughter goes to daycare. I'm like, no, I'm done. I'm done. So yeah, that you can. I would just say, try to position your business in a way that suits your mental capacity mm-hmm. and emotional capacity. Cause I know I need a lot of time to recharge.
And I think it's funny. I've always said that you can see someone's personality in their work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think being a little bit, introverted, soft-spoken, not like high energy. I'm not the bubbly photographer.
Yes.
But I think that draws people that love that quiet, understated energy. And those are the people that I enjoy working with too. Put me in a situation where it's like, they're like chatty and bubbly and not that they're not wonderful. It's just for you.
And your personality. Like
that energy is a lot.
Yeah. For me. Who's so good at that is Ian.
Yeah.
She's so good at that. Like so calming. And just sit over there. She was like, hey, yeah, you don't look good on that one. I'm going to change your pose. And I was like, but anyway, she was so good at it that I was like, how did that not just break me? But she's my personality. That's my friends are like, you're mean. Like my husband's, you're a mean person. Like he's like, people on the internet don't know you. So it's funny. I may seem like I'm nice, but I'm not that. And I'm not that bubbly. So yeah, I connect with people like that. I'm the same.
And I think it may even be an asset because I get the compliment a lot. I think it's a compliment, like you're so calming or
you are.
Thank you. But yeah. I like when there's lots of like stress, babies crying, kids, I feel like my personality just, it's okay. It's going to be okay.
No That's problem. Why you're such a phenomenal wedding photographer. Cause that's why my brides love me on the wedding day. They're like, can I just hang out with you? Everyone else is stressing me out. Like the amount of times I heard that, can we just go take some photos? Cause I just want to get out of here. I've heard that so many, I'm sure it's the same with you where there's Kim, please just hang out with me. I don't want to do this anymore.
We have other photographers on our team that are bubbly and have that more outgoing personality. And then that's what their wedding photos look like. Yeah. That's because they're laughing, so they're cutting up. There's lots of energy because I think you get back what you give folks.
That's a great point. Yep.
Yeah.
It's true.
Hey friends, are you in search of something special to set your portraits apart? If you are, I'm excited to share Willow Canvas with you. Willow Canvas is a mother-owned company that creates beautiful hand-painted fine art backdrops. Willow Canvas offers a wide range of sizes to fit your space, whether you're traveling or in the studio. Each Willow Canvas is soft and neutral with a texture and tone that will complement your branding. Sarah, the artist behind Willow Canvas, is one of our favorites. She's so sweet and kind and dedicated to delivering personalized customer service with 3 ordering options: ready to ship, custom, or pre-order based on your chosen hues and textures. All of us at the Motherhood Anthology absolutely love Willow Canvas for its amazing customer service, beautiful colors, and exceptional quality. Discover the magic of Willow Canvas by heading over to their website, willowcanvasbackdrops.com. Browse their beautiful galleries and start creating the perfect backdrop for your photography. Find them on Instagram at willow_canvas or visit willowcanvasbackdrops.com. And don't forget to join their email list for 10% discount on your purchase, and for our listeners, free shipping while this airs.
Okay, I think we discussed this next question, but this is, how do you establish such a deep connection with your clients?
That's how. And making them pause and reflect. So this, I keep referencing her, but she has so many great points. When we got coffee last week or 2 weeks ago, she was honest with me, and she was honest with me from the beginning. So at first she was like, I'm talking to a couple of other photographers. I just want to let you know that. And so I wasn't scared by that. I wasn't threatened by that. And then there are a lot of photographers in South Florida. So I just went through my process as normal. But when we got coffee, she brought it up again. I go, will you please tell me, like, why we had that connection? I was like, why didn't you work with them? I know I'm so much more expensive than they are. And she's like, well, I tell you, there was one woman that I finally got on the phone with, and she was just like, yeah, this is going to be amazing. You're going to feel beautiful. It's just going to be so much fun. Like, when should we book it? And that was it. And it's, you would think that would be like, she was saying all the right things, but it was like taking that time. Like I've talked about this before, where I've been on the discovery call with them and I asked them this question that's like very vulnerable. And it's a hard question. It would be hard for anyone to answer based on what they replied. And it was like the pause. And I don't know, I would have to think about that. And I was like, go ahead. And we're just quiet. And like that feeling of I'm holding space for people. And I think that's a big aspect of it, is just like holding the space where someone, like, there's nothing you're going to say that's going to offend me or not make me not want to photograph you. So she had told me, like, even though your process was more and you were more money, like, no one else was doing it that way. And that's, I needed someone to hold my hand, and I needed someone to like see me and take me through the process, because I live in workout clothes and I don't see myself as sexy. And you gave that to me. She spent $25,000 with me. So apparently there's something there that's working.
Oh, we're getting good comments. It says, Kelsey says, I swear Shannon speaks to me in so many ways, so much alike with just the perfect amount of differences. Ooh, and she says, my hubby says I'm mean too.
And our 2-year-old acts just like me, where my husband, Matt, he's like, he'll be in the middle of talking to her and she's, oh, look, that's water over there. And I go, she listens to you just as well as I do. He's like, no one's ever going to listen to me. I'm like, not unless you get something good to say. I don't know what's I'm so mean. So mean.
Yeah, we take it out on the ones we love the most.
I know. It's true. It's true.
Oh, okay. Courtney said, I just listened to your most recent podcast episode. Loved it. When a family is investing in a significant amount of photos, what would you do if you have kids who just won't engage or cooperate during the session and you can't capture the photos that you're both envisioning? Would you reshoot? What kinds of things do you do to prepare families with kids and do with the kids in person to create such emotional, beautiful images? I find the higher I'm priced, the more stress I feel to capture amazing portraits of the kids, no matter how they actually behave that day.
Okay. It's a great question. I had that happen, the family session that I had 2 weeks ago. I left. This is one she won. I talked about it on the episode. She won from a gala that I donated to. The way that I have my donation set up is the value of what they're getting is like close to $3,000, I think, because it's my session and it's like a little below. And then they get 2 matted prints with the 2 matching files, or they get $1,000 credit toward art. So my hope is they'll use that credit and want to get more. But they do, I have it where they have, the starting bid has to be a third. So they're already going in spending like $815 just for that. So I already know, like, I have a pre-qualifier. So I looked her up before our session, and they bought their house in 2017. It was $6 million, and they just redid the whole house, and they're in like one of the most expensive areas. I showed up to their house and I was like, okay, like in my dirty Subaru, and I've got my cargo clothes on, and I haven't washed my hair in a week, like typical. So that pressure, I feel that pressure, because I'm like, a part of it too, with them spending a lot of money, it's also, I know that I could, like, they can afford the wall art, they can afford the photos. Like, I know they could spend money with me. So you, like, that pressure was there. My advice, because I left being like, I don't know, there was something about that session that just didn't feel like I wasn't on as much as I usually am. And I think a big part of that was because she went through my process, but it was weird. I think because she didn't pay my full pricing, she's not going in expecting to spend more money with me. Like, I prepared her, but she doesn't have to. So I almost put like a, does she value me? Does she really want me here? Does she love my photos? Or was I the only person there that was offering photos and she wanted to donate on something? So I feel like there was a little bit of disconnect. What I ended up doing is I stayed for 2.5 hours and I overshot. Like, I'm already, Jenny is, she gets so, like, when I talk about how many digital files I shoot, I already overshot. I think I left with 2,500 photos, but I was just like, I gotta get this. I had two different, I had a wide angle lens. I had my GFX with like my old contacts lens. So it's equivalent to a 50mm. And I was just like, let's go to your room. Let's jump on the bed. Let's get in the pool. Let's go in your, let's go kick the ball around. Do you guys want ice cream? Let's eat ice cream over here. So I think when you have the time and you could spend the time with them, like really thinking about, okay, I'm just going to take them to do 40 different things and just pray. And so I ended up getting, there's 120 photos with that I'm like, I'm happy with. And then the other thing is, really, I spent like a week curating. So I'm going through and really, can I crop this in a way that's really interesting? Can I edit this in a way that's, this be better in black and white? Are they going to be drawn to this more emotionally? I posted the head swap. So I ended up doing 3 head swaps on 3 different photos because I was just like, I know she'd buy this one, but like the kid's face is a little bit weird in this one. So I think, yeah, just having that time where you can really spend with them and then time after to like really curate and really pick the images. So I know it's not great advice, but I'd say spend more time and overshoot, and just, that's what I did. And now I feel like I have enough, and that's probably like the worst advice, but that's what I do. And then I always end up with like enough to show them and then enough for them to spend like a good amount of money with me. And Kim, like, you're more critical on yourself too. Like, these are their kids. Their kids are 6 and 3 and they've never had professional photos taken of them. And they're like multimillionaires. So I'm like, we gotta, come on. We gotta get
this. That's what I was going to say. I don't know what that is. It's one of those like rules of photography or something. It's always the session that you are like, ugh,
yep,
I wasn't feeling it that day, that they love the most and yeah, buy the most. So you'll have to report back to us. And
it's just hitting me now why it may be. We may not be feeling it because it's like the kid was crazy and the kid was this and they love it. You know why I'm thinking about my daughter? It's because they look at it and they're like, that's him. You like, you got him. Like, I think we overanalyze it. Like, we're not getting that dreamy, beautiful photo. And mom's sitting there like, oh my God, you got his weird smile that like he only does with us. Like, I think that's probably a big part of why like it's magic to them. And we're like, we didn't get the one of them smiling at the camera.
Or maybe they didn't expect that you got anything. And then when you show back, back with 125 amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Photos, and I don't usually show that much for a family session, but this one, I'm like, I'm probably going to go back through and cull it even more now that I've edited it. And right now I've got 7 walls that she's like, let's see some art on here. And I'm like, this is going to take me like 2 weeks of sitting there and being like, okay, but I want to do this. So yeah. Yeah.
That's funny too, that you say you have to separate yourself from the shoot before you edit a little bit. I'm the same way. What is that?
I think we got that way with weddings. Because not only do you have the wedding hangover where you can't move your body in the next 2 days, but then I think it's because you're so emotionally attached to it. I think that's a big part of it. I just have to remove myself, because when I come back to it, I want to look at it like I just removed. Is this a good photo? Would they purchase this? Is this art? That's how I need to look at it. But I definitely, what's interesting, and I know a lot of moms in here will feel this way, not that I ever kept photos from people, but I do feel like since I've become a mom, I do include a lot more and for them to pick through. Cause while I think it might be a weird face, they may look at that and go, that's him. That's him. So I definitely, now that I'm a mom, include more in like their ordering session. Cause I'm like, I'm going to let you pick.
Okay. Kelly says, I'm from Central Coast of California, and it's very much a shoot and burn mentality in the industry here. I'm trying to transition out of the model and train my clients to invest in prints. I'm a single mom and depend on every dollar, so it's a slow transition. Any practical tips to educate and instill the value of printing?
First of all, amazing to you for being a single mom. God. Yeah. Show it on your social media. Talk about it. Talk about the why. I don't ever talk about digital files, ever. Never do I talk about that. I'm talking about my why. I'm talking about how my clients feel when they see the photos on their wall. I do blog posts about what photo prints, seeing their kids coming home and seeing photos on their walls scientifically does to their brain and their self-esteem. I'm talking to potential inquiries about that and telling moms that even if they feel like they're not a good mom, they're already at such a great advantage because they care about getting photos of their kids. And that's already one step in the right direction. And I know Jenny and I talk about, Jenny will agree with this. I know, good that you're the only person that's doing it that way. Like that to me, when someone comes to me and wants to mentor with me and they're like, but no one else is doing this. I'm like, that's the goal, take it. No one else is doing that. Not only is no one else doing that, now you get to do it in any way you want to do it because no one else is doing it. So like you get to decide. So I don't think that you need to educate with, I see a lot of photographers get hung up on, I get like these custom wood frames and they're handmade in the mill and they all come from America and it's like fine art paper. And it's, your clients could care less about that. They don't, to them, like seeing Shutterfly and seeing like a museum, like it sounds crazy, but some people might not even be able to tell the difference. What they want is to know that from start to finish, you're going to take care of the whole process. Like they don't have to think about anything. And for my clients, they don't, not only do they don't have to worry about where it get printed, but like, how big should it be on my wall? What wall should I put it on? What frame color? How many should I put up there? What three photos look good together? So I think just show it, just like you in your portfolio, you show what you want to shoot, you show what you want to sell. So show it, even if you're using stock images. A lot of my framed art photos on my website and my Instagram are stock images that I have photoshopped, a lot of them. So stock images work too. So yeah.
I think if you're trying to transition, in person is the way to start. You will learn so much about selling to your clients when you're sitting across from them, when you're revealing the images in person and they are having to make buying decisions right after they've seen the images. They will buy product when they're so fresh and emotionally attached to those images. And it is such a great service because they know, and we know that we need that help to get from gallery to product, and when you're not a photographer, is a daunting task for a lot of people. And if you can help them whittle those images down and decide what to do with them, they may be hesitant. Like they may want to think about it, but I promise when it's all said and done and they have an album or images on the wall, they're going to say, oh my gosh, thank you so much, because I would have never been able to do this without your help. Now, once you're like rocking and rolling with it, then I think it's, you can be more successful transitioning to online galleries, but you need to know, you need that experience of sitting with them, I think, to know the handholding that they need and the questions they have and that sort of thing.
And I think you're right. And in the beginning, sitting in that uncomfortable, like my first couple sales, I was sweating. I was like, ah. I think even if you go the Jenny and Allison route, eventually they're so good at that because if a client's like, where should I put this? How should I do that? You still like, how much would this be? How like you're on it because you've sat in that room while someone's staring at you. Like, how much is it? Wait a minute. And you're like, oh my God, should I throw stuff in for free? Like you get that, you really do start to get that confidence, like being in the room with them, to where if you do transition, absolutely. I'm sure Jenny and Allison are like killing it because they did that first and they had that experience first.
But it's saying that you're a single mom and you need it. If I needed to make money tomorrow, my clients are going to come sit with me because I know that they will buy if they're sitting with me.
True. So true. Yep. So true.
Okay. So when you're networking in person and meeting potential ideal clients, what kinds of things do you say about yourself and your work? How do you introduce yourself naturally as a photographer? And what sorts of things are tells when someone might be your next client? Oh, that's a good question.
It is a very good client question. So I'm very big on the elevator pitch because you've got like 15 to 30 seconds to sell somebody on you. And what I remember going to networking events when I was like transitioning out of weddings, still, and people were like, what do you do? I'm like, I'm a photographer. I'm a wedding photographer. I'm a photographer. I photograph families. And it's like, how many family photographers have they met? They probably are friends with a family photographer. Like everyone's a family photographer. So I think really like you can be weird with it. Like I've been at an all women's networking event and I'm like, I help women get photos of themselves naked on the walls. Like just, you could be so weird with it. So my big thing is, what's a way that you can talk about yourself that isn't just, I'm a photographer. You guys have it all on your websites. Like it's some of y'all's taglines. Like I help moms have a stress-free experience where I document their family and the end result is art that they're going to put on their home and their children are going to have for generations. I try not to even throw photography in there. I say artist somewhere in there and I say the end result will be art that you get to hang up in your home. That's because I want to paint the picture that I'm not just another photographer. And I think somehow including in there finished art is like the big, because you want to start getting that into their head. And I'm so bad being an introvert. I got to get better about networking events. Like I go to them and I talk to one or two people the whole time. Like I find my person and I'm like, will you talk to me? Because I'm so awkward and uncomfortable. So yeah, I think just it's the long game again. Like a lot of those people at networking events aren't just going to hire you off the bat. It happens, but I think a lot of it's more, let's follow each other on social media and let's get coffee and let me get to know you. Because again, someone just meeting me, if they've worked with other photographers, they're going to be like, how much do you charge? But I think if they get to know me and see my blog posts and see my social media and see the art that I'm creating and the way that I talk about it, I think they're going to start to be like, okay, this is different. Something about this is very different. So that would be my suggestion.
Mary wants to know, if you don't have a studio, do you offer to come to their home for the ordering appointment?
Not the ordering. No. And it's really, I am like, so I have a crappy laptop from like 2017 that I just don't use enough to update. I'm like, I'm just not going to spend money on that. I'm very like stingy with my money. So I'm not bringing my whole computer and I'm not confident enough to do it on their TV. I know my strengths and I know my weaknesses. I will always stay on Zoom because I'm just like, I would fumble if I was in their home. So I feel a lot more confident. And I like that I have my space and I can have like my invoice pulled up here and I'm looking at that. If I need to pull up pricing, because they're asking me something and I'm like, crap, I forgot. Like they're talking to me and I'm like, mm-hmm. And I'm like pulling stuff up. So it started because of COVID and I think I will just remain. But as far as consultation, as far as coming to their home and photographing their walls, 100%. If they want me to come over, I'm happy. I'm happy to do that. Happy to. But ordering sessions, no.
That's what I was wondering. I've done the Zoom, but then when you were talking about in person, it just feels so like literally in person.
Yeah.
And so that's why I was like curious.
Yeah. I get it. I totally get the appeal of it. And for people that like project on the walls and show the art on the wall, like I get how they have big sales, but I'm having big sales by doing it this way. So I'm like, there's no reason for me to change it. And I think a lot of them like the comfort of, oh, I can just be in my PJs. My house can be a mess. You're not coming over. Do I have to have wine for you? Are you going to get hungry? So I think that helps too, like making them feel more comfortable that way too. But I get why people do it in the homes. And if I was confident with like I'm just not techie, but if I was confident, maybe I would go to their homes because I could see having really big sales that way because you have that one-on-one energy in the room. But no.
Kelsey asked about destination photographer clients who are photographed on vacation. So full IPS isn't possible. What would be a way to work with them in a similar manner? So you could do the Zoom.
Yeah. And so for my out of state clients, just researching and having an installer come to their house, like scheduling it with them, and the installer can come when they're home and do that. So absolutely, like it can work the exact same way. You just have them send photos of their walls, which even local clients all have send photos of their walls. If they don't like, if I don't want to go, or they're like, no, I'll just do it because it's so easy.
Kelsey wants to know, what's the number one thing that helps you with the Zoom call?
The discovery call?
Consult.
Or like ordering. So the consult is having that questionnaire blueprint because it's already laid out for me. And me being an introvert, I don't have to sit there and go, oh God, what should I ask them? It's already, those questions have been answered and just expanding on those.
Okay.
I think I meant the IPS, like the sales portion. Is there a set of tools that you use regularly to help?
I mean, I use Fundy. I use Fundy for everyone. I do their slideshow on there now. And then I go, yeah, I do their framed art presentation and they pick their photos through there. But as far as Zoom, no, we just pull up on Zoom. And then I have on my screen, I have the investment guide pulled up so I can see everything. And then I have the Fundy. And so I actually like, I use Fundy, but I don't even have the pricing set up in there because it was like such a beast that I was so confused by it. And then every time that I'd update my pricing, I'm like, I don't want to go back. So I just had my pricing like to the side. And then when they're like, okay, how much is this? And that's the thing is I think people get in their head of, I have to have an answer like right now. And it's not that stressful. Like my ordering sessions usually last around 3 hours. Like they're long because they're narrowing down their photos. We're going over art. But I'm sitting there, literally, I have a pad of paper and a pen. And I'm like, okay, this one's okay, 20 by 24. Let me write this down. And I'm writing. I'm like, no, let me go to my pricing. And I write it down. And they're waiting. They have no problem. I'm like, if you need to go get a cup of coffee, if you need to use the bathroom. And then I just go over a line item with them. And then I don't make them pay on the call anymore. Like I send them the invoice and let them just pay whenever they're ready with their credit card.
What are you using platforms or tools to mock up potential prints you're suggesting? What labs do you use?
I use Musea and for my albums, I use Priscilla Foster, but I don't think she's like on a wait list. So she does like fully custom albums, like fully custom. So yeah, those are my two. And then I have Blazing. They're out of like the Connecticut area, I feel like Blazing Editions. And I can post this in the group. They're incredible. They do my metals, like my metal prints and my acrylics, because Musea doesn't do that.
How do you help keep client interactions genuine and full of love when you're personally struggling?
Oh God, that's such a good question. I think I just look at it as how I would want to be treated and I can put that aside. Gosh, I'm just trying to think like, not too much TMI, but my last marriage, he was sober, but he relapsed twice when we were married. I had to go shoot a wedding when he was on a 5-day binge and I didn't know where he was. I was like, he could be dead in a hotel room. I had to go shoot a wedding. It was awful. And then I talk about my boudoir work really came about when I was like really bad in my marriage and I didn't feel seen. And so I feel like if you're in a really hard time, giving them those parts that you wish somebody was giving to you. Like really diving into that. Okay. I can't give that to myself right now. No one's giving that to me, but I can give that to somebody else. It has this weird way of healing me in different ways of, okay, somebody else is getting what I can't have. And I know it sounds weird. Like you would think I'd be jealous, but it's more like I can provide that for them. Yeah. Again, I had to do it when I was going through my postpartum depression. I guess it's different for me. Like Kim and I talked on the podcast, it's my quiet place. Like that when I'm helping people in that way, I'm not thinking about my problems. And it's the only place where I'm like, shut, I have tunnel vision. I'm just doing this in this moment. And then again, having the space, don't be volume based and be in a place where I can give that. Gosh, boudoir sessions, I'm their therapist. Like I literally had a client that's, do you do therapy? She's Orthodox and they can't talk about sex. They can't talk to other women about stuff. And she's, can I call you? I was like, I'm not professional and I don't want to get sued. But it was so much of me that I loved it, but I did. I spent the next week just going to lay in bed. Like I don't want to do anything for the week. And I've had to work on that mindset too. Like you're not lazy. You're not a failure. If you don't work every day, like really getting to that place where I can give that of myself, but then I'm going to have to recharge. And you know what that takes for you. So give that to people, but make sure you're taking care of yourself too. Whether that's eating healthy, going on long walks, listening to podcasts, like whatever that looks like for you. It's a really good question though.
It's funny that I feel like so many creatives deal with anxiety. And I think it's that pressure to perform, to be creative, even if you don't feel like it. Like it's such a personal thing that we're giving to other people. And what if there's If you've got stuff going on and you just don't feel like it today and you still have to do it, like that's hard. That's really hard.
Have the kind of relationship with them that you can reschedule. Yeah. Have those relationships. I'm having a really hard week. And I know as a mom, you get it. I'm just having such, I want to give you my best. Can we do this next week? Because it's not a wedding. Like you have that latitude. Like you can absolutely ask. And that's the thing. Having those boundaries, like your clients are going to respect you too. I know without a doubt that most of my clients, if I said that, they'd be like, sure, absolutely take all the time that you need. It's not that pressing. And of course, if someone's coming in from out of town and like they need a session, you have to suck it up. But yeah, there is this stigma that we have to live in the depression to create art. And it's not true. It's absolutely not true. Take care of your mental health. That's most important. It'll just blossom in other ways.
Okay. Last question. Anyone else has one they want to drop in the chat real quick. If you're hiring a photographer, Shannon, what experience would you want to have? What would stand out to you?
Someone spending as much time with me as I spend with them, and then taking care of the art aspect. As Kim and myself don't have any art on the walls. I have art, I have some art, but I don't have photos on my walls. So yeah, I think just someone, and then again, loving on my baby. That's a big one for me, and not expecting her to perform because she's very shy, like I was as a kid. I would want someone to really get to know her and spend the time. If they showed up and she wanted to just hide for 30 minutes, I've heard people being like, the last photographer I worked with was like making me feel bad because I had to stop and breastfeed my baby. And I'm like, what? That's the kind of, you'd be surprised the horror stories I've heard. So I think really just someone taking the time with me and getting to know me and my family and making me feel extremely comfortable while photographing us.
You're so great, Shannon. Thank you. Thank you so much. You're always so good to TMA.
Thank you for having me. This is fun.
Happy birthday, Shannon. Oh my
Thank
God.
You.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Motherhood Anthology podcast. Until next week, head over to the Motherhood Anthology community on Facebook. There you'll find a few thousand photographers just like yourself that you can ask questions of and collaborate with. We'd love to have you there. So from our lens to yours, until next time, friends.